The purpose of life seems to be to acquaint a man with himself, and whatever course of action he engages in reacts upon and illuminates the recesses of his own mind. Thus, friends seem to be only mirrors to draw out and explain to us ourselves. And that which draws us nearer to our fellow man is that the deep heart in one answers the deep heart in another, that we find we have a common nature, one life which runs through all individuals and which is indeed divine. And this week's opening quote comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. The search for life's divinity, the search for the divinity of ourselves, seems to be an endless pursuit of most people and something that many people perceive to be unattainable. Many people simply don't perceive themselves to be divine. They see that position relegated to certain religious deities. This is, of course, because they've been programmed into these beliefs. But the reality is that life itself is divine. And when we can discover our own divinity and get rid of the programs we're running, such as the nationalistic and religious and economic and social programs we're running, then we're going to find remedy for the situations that we face. And what is nationalism anyway, folks? You know, nationalism really is racism. Nationalism is believing that your spot on the earth is better than everybody else's spot on the earth, and that the people that live on your spot of the earth are somehow more privileged or more deserving than others. That's all nationalism is, folks. It's a form of bigotry, and it's certainly racism. And our problems really when looking at the world is the fact that we've divided the world into different countries and different races and different species and different economies and people with different ethnic idiosyncrasies, and we've forgotten that we're all really one human family. I mean, all the wars that we're fighting, folks, they're all unnecessary. What's going on in Palestine and Israel is completely unnecessary over the ownership of land, which you can't possibly own. What's going on in Ukraine is completely unnecessary. Every war we've ever had on the planet has been completely and utterly unnecessary and has been a construct. It's all been created by politicians. It's all been created by banking cartels. It's been created by the people who manipulate things and run things and just drag the public along with them in whatever ridiculous harebrained scheme or depopulation agenda they may have. And it's easy to drag the public into supporting these things, folks. I mean, look at the Middle East as a perfect example. Look what happened in Iraq with this whole fake war they had over there and Al-Qaeda and all the threat and all the rubbish that they sold us. And then just as they're getting ready to pull the troops out, suddenly ISIS comes onto the scene and we've got to push more troops back in there and actually escalate the war that they claimed a couple of months before they were going to de-escalate. Now it's escalated massively right when they needed it. And this is simply because of public outcry, folks, because everybody wanted the war to stop. And they don't want the war to stop. They want it to keep going. So what they do is they get a new terrorist organization and inject a new threat into the area so they can push more troops into the area and continue depopulating the way they've been doing. Only now there is a huge public outcry to actually go in there and to escalate the war. And don't forget, folks, these are the same people that were screaming out for the war to stop a few months ago. Now they're screaming out to escalate the conflict because the new boogeyman has arrived on the scene. And not only is it all theatre for the masses, but it's all based on this erroneous concept that we are all different from each other, that all of our countries are real, that all of our races are real, that our religions somehow have supremacism over other religions. It's all completely ridiculous, and it's all somebody else's ideas that have all been superimposed over people's minds. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to, it's somebody else's idea of reality that they've written down in a book and you've taken on as your reality. But what it's doing is preventing you from ever truly expressing the art of yourself and experiencing the world from your unique perspective, free from outside interference. And that's the thing, folks, is that all of these ideas are actually interference in your own perspective. Because all of them are other people's versions of reality that you're taking on as your own. And think about it. What thoughts are you having? Are they your own thoughts or are they the thoughts of someone else that you read in a book? If you believe in God, if you believe in an ultimate creator, what is your perspective of the creator? What is your relationship with the creator? What is your connection to the creator and your communication with the Creator? Is it yours or is it somebody else's? Is it somebody else's idea? Are the thoughts you're having about your connection to the Creator things that you have experienced and discovered for yourself on your own? Or are they somebody else's ideas that have been put into your mind so that now you believe that's what your connection would be? Because we all have our own connection, folks, and we don't need somebody else's idea to get in the way. I've had so many Muslims tell me that a lot of the teachings that I present to people sound like they come from the Quran, and they've told me that I should become a Muslim because my teachings are so much like Islam. And I say to them, well, if that's the case and I know this without reading the Quran, then why do I need the Quran? And I've had many Christians come and tell me the same sort of things. Many teachings that I give, they sound like they're out of the Bible. Why don't I become a Christian? I say, well, if I've got this information without the book, why do I need the book? Because the book is somebody else's idea. And we all have our own connection to Source. We all have our own connection to the mind of God, whatever you want to call it to be. I simply call it Source. I call it the conscious universe or whatever. I mean, I firmly believe that the universe itself is conscious. I think the energy that makes up all matter is itself conscious. And I've gathered this perspective and I've formed this opinion through experiences that I've had on my own, not through anything that I've read in a book. And I've found that if I look at reality from this perspective, it becomes very easy to understand, and it becomes very easy to see how it's all about energy flow and how that energy flow is manipulated by people's belief in things such as nationalism and social and economic programs and religious programs that they're running. And again, folks, all of these things are other people's versions of reality. Imagine yourself being born on an island and there was no one to explain to you what reality was, or what your connection to the divine was, or what your connection to any ultimate creator was. What would you discover about reality for yourself if you weren't looking at it with a preconceived notion of what it is? What would you form from your own opinions? Just the fact that you don't have a preconceived notion immediately opens your mind up to an amazing amount of potential discoveries. But if you have a preconceived notion, then you're always looking for discoveries which will reinforce your belief of what reality should be. But very often that belief is something that has been garnered from somebody else. And in this sort of a situation, the thoughts we are having are not our own, and the way we are analyzing any situation or analyzing reality is via the perspective that's been offered to us by somebody else. It's not something that's come from our own creative input into the moment. And I think that's what it's all about, folks. It's all about us creating with the tools that we've been given and doing so to the best of our potential. And I think that if we can look at the world that way and put down all of this nationalistic rubbish, then we're going to find that we don't need war, we don't need any of the problems that we've got, we don't need to be supporting this economic system, we don't need to be doing anything that we're doing. You know, the human race at the moment, it's like a madhouse. It's honestly like a madhouse. There's no need for any of these wars to be fought, and people defending their states and defending their beliefs and defending all this stuff by killing other people, it makes absolutely no sense at all. You're not going to solve anything by killing people. And the world is so different to what people think it is, folks. The world isn't even overpopulated. It's just badly managed, and all of this is done by design as well. But I think that if we can change our perspective, we're going to see that we can fix this situation very easily. But we've got to stand up and call a spade, we really do. We've got to start looking at how this mechanism is being run and stop being politically correct when we deal with it. That's why I did a show like I did last week and pointed all those fingers at Israel for what it's doing. But again, folks, not at the Jewish people, just at the mechanism that is Israel. And Israel is a mechanism run by banking cartels that's being used to destabilize the world under the smokescreen of the Holocaust and the plight of the Jewish people. And it's an absolute sham. It really is. You can't own Israel. You can't own any country. You're just here for a little while, and what exists on the planet is just people. And what we're facing on this earth is a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions. It really is. All of these situations, folks, you know, discussing and debating who's the good guys and who's the bad guys in the Ukraine conflict and what the strategic positions are and all this sort of stuff. What's going on there is that people are being killed by other people. That's what's going on. Forget about the countries and forget about the political reasons and all this sort of stuff. What's happening is that people are killing other people, and that's what's happening in Israel and Palestine as well. And the people don't want war. The people want to live in peace. It's all these corrupt leaders that do all of this rubbish and concoct all of this bullshit and sell it to the public through this controlled media. But it's all rubbish, folks, because nobody wants war. Nobody wants bombs falling on their houses. No one wants to go and drop bombs on other people's houses. If these leaders want to go and have a war, they should grab a hammer each, go meet in a room somewhere and have their war. There's no need to involve anybody else. There's no reason to be bombing civilians and bombing other countries. All of this stuff that the United States is carrying out against ISIL, or pretending they're carrying out against ISIL, there's no need to go and bomb Syria to fight ISIL. There's no need to go and bomb Syria even if you want to remove Assad. You know, you don't bomb people to achieve anything. You don't take control of another country by bombing it and killing all of its people. It doesn't make any sense. This is nonsensical. Wars achieve nothing. All they do is allow a night of wet dreams to sociopathic bankers and politicians. That's the only purpose wars serve. These people do them because they revel in death and bloodshed and control, and they just like to do bad stuff. And what we've got to do, folks, in order to combat it is realize that we don't have to actually do any of this. We don't have to participate in this ridiculous economic system, these ridiculous social systems, and we certainly don't have to do what our government says, because our government are a bunch of sociopaths who are doing very, very bad things, and if you want evidence of that, well, Exhibit A, the Earth, Exhibit B, the Edward Snowden information that was released, Exhibit C, the information that's appeared on WikiLeaks. And all these people are debating whether these are good guys or bad guys. Forget about it, folks. Look at the information. The information indicates that we've got a bunch of sociopathic criminal scumbags running the country. And it's happening because we're disunited. We're following all of these social and religious and ethnic programs. We're forgetting that there's just one human family on this planet. All the lines on maps were drawn by these sociopaths in order to divide us. And all of the religions, I mean, they just offer you a perspective. They offer you an idea of what your connection to the Creator could be, but it's up to you to discover that connection for yourself. And ultimately, folks, if you're going to kill other people to defend your religion, then your religion's full of shit. Doesn't matter which one it is. If it promotes killing anybody for any reason, then the bottom line is that it's full of shit. I mean, the whole concept of killing people in the name of God, killing people because it's what God wants, I mean, what a lame, brain-dead, stupid, demented concept to even entertain. I mean, honestly, folks, what possesses these people? Well, I don't know. But of course, what possesses them is their belief in someone else's version of reality and the fact that they've never experienced it for themselves without a foregone conclusion of what it should be that's been provided to them by whatever book they happen to have read. You know, it's all these foregone conclusions that people have and all the self-mindlessness that people have, because their minds are usually controlled by their beliefs, which are usually controlled by what they've read or what's been instilled into them by the television or somebody else. It's all of these sorts of things that have created the problem, that have created the lack of humanity that we see, that has caused us to view all of these humanitarian crises around the planet as being political crises or economic crises, but they're not. They're humanitarian crises. The situation in Gaza, this is a humanitarian crisis of absolute epic proportions, like we've never seen in a so-called civilized country before. We've seen things like this where there's been starving millions that have been living in camps in places like Rwanda, but this is a city, this is a walled-in, besieged city that is suffering the most intense brutality and the most intense inhumanity and the most brutal collective punishment at the hands of Israel, while the international community remains blind because they view it as an issue between Israel and the Palestinians, when really what it is a humanitarian issue. It's people killing other people and torturing other people, torturing children in the case of Gaza Strip, mainly children in Gaza Strip. And this is happening because people are viewing things from a distorted perspective. They're viewing things from a religious or ethnic perspective rather than seeing it for what it is, which is a humanitarian crisis. And because it's such a blatant humanitarian crisis right in our faces, it's also a huge opportunity for the human race to step up to the plate. It really is, folks. It's a huge opportunity for the human race to rediscover their humanity by simply standing up, calling a spade a spade, and seeing things for what they are and naming them for what they are. And forgetting all the rubbish and the disinformation and the lies that are fed to you by the media and the politicians, forgetting about the economy. It's not about the economy. The economy's fiction. To hell with the economy. It's a bunch of digits on the screen which is destroying our habitat and is essentially anti-life. So screw the economy. Forget all of these things, folks. We've got a humanitarian crisis on this planet that's happening because people aren't paying attention, mainly because they're running on the treadmill and have been given a distorted perspective of reality. They think countries and politics and currency and all this stuff is real. It's just fiction, folks. It's all fiction. And it's all designed to not only prevent you from being you, but also to prevent you from seeing the beauty in others. I mean, honestly, if people could see the beauty in themselves enough to see the beauty in others, then we wouldn't have any of these conflicts happening. And Gaza, folks. I mean, my God. Poor Gaza. Do not forget Gaza, folks. Who can get me into Gaza? Can anybody out there get me into Gaza? I've been trying to get into Gaza since October last year. I've had so many attempts to get in there. I've had so many things that have looked like it was going to happen, and I'm all ready to go, and something happens, and I can't go. Is there someone out there listening to this show who can get me into Gaza? If you can, please contact me. I would love to go. And I just thought I'd put that out there. Of course, I'd like to suss you out a lot first before I just go running off into the blue with some stranger to Gaza. But I really would like to get back into Gaza Strip. And the passing through Egypt is just impossible at the moment, and there seems to be no way that Israel is interested in letting anyone through. I mean, I'm all ready to go, folks. I've got my return ticket there, which is open until October this year. I've got my bags already packed. I can go at a moment's notice. I just have to get in there. And it's certainly been very frustrating to find no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to manage it. But we do what we can, hey, and I will get in there eventually. I'm sure that if I keep trying, there's going to be an opening, and I will eventually get in there. But honestly, folks, what we are facing on the world is a humanitarian crisis. It really is. All of these issues that we look at, all the problems that we face, we just don't seem to address them in the right way. We look at them from political or ethnic or economic perspectives. We look through the legal system for loopholes and remedies within the legal system. But we never really look at it from a human perspective. Sure, we might see people suffering and say, this is terrible that these people are suffering. And then we look for loopholes and we look for legal avenues and we look for all this sort of stuff. But we should put all that below the human value, because the human value is the highest. And I'm not saying humans are more valuable than animals. Don't get me wrong here. I'm talking about the system, okay? It really actually annoys me that I have to clarify points like that. Anyway, doesn't matter. But what I'm trying to say here is that we need to put humanity back into the equation. If there's people that are suffering because of the system, because of economics, because of the social system, because of the economic system, because of the legal system, because of wars or whatever, if there are people suffering, then there's something terribly wrong. And whoever's making the people suffer is doing the wrong thing, regardless of what the legal implications are, regardless of whether it's legal for him to be doing what he's doing or not. You know, people in Guantanamo Bay, folks, regardless of whether it's legal under military law for this to be done or not, it's completely and utterly irrelevant. If it is legal under military law for what's happening in Guantanamo Bay to occur, then the military law needs to be thrown in the bin straight away. It's as simple as that. Because it's a humanitarian issue. It's got nothing to do with legality or social issues or politics or this or that. What's happening in Guantanamo Bay is people are being tortured by other people. It's a humanitarian issue. What's happening in our countries with the austerity measures where people are becoming homeless in order to balance the books, what's happening is that people are suffering in order to support the economic model. So the economic model needs to be thrown in the bin. Now, this is the way we need to start looking at things, folks. The people must not suffer at the hands of the system and at the hands of their government. If they do, then the system and the government needs to be removed. It's as simple as that. And that's the situation that we've got. We've got a bunch of criminals running the planet that are making sure that everybody on the planet is suffering greatly. And it's going to continue to happen until we stand up and start calling a spade, folks. And that's only going to happen if we start looking at things from a humanitarian perspective. Because that is the issue. It's a humanitarian issue. All of these situations are humanitarian issues, whether it's war, whether it's homelessness, whether it's coal seam gas mining, whatever it is. It's all humanitarian issues. And even if you want to say, okay, well, humans aren't the top of the food chain, we need to protect the animals as well. Well, it's humanitarian to protect the animals. It's the humane thing to do. But you're not going to do that until you can get humanity to recognize themselves for what they are and see the beauty in themselves and realize that we have the power to change everything. We're the ones that created this whole mess, and we did. We created it, folks, through our own inaction, through our own apathy is how we created it. We just let these criminals run amok and do whatever they want to do because we believe that all the rubbish they write on pieces of paper is real. But it's not. It's just fiction. And we can still fix things if we choose to stand up and call a spade now. You know, if we choose to stand up and do the right thing, folks, we can still fix things. But if people are going to be politically correct and they're not going to stand up and speak the truth, then it's just going to continue to go downhill. And now's the time we have to do it, folks. Now is the time for you to stand up and be counted. And I tell you, folks, if you don't, if you're not prepared to do it, then you can see where it's going. I mean, look what just happened in France. We had nearly 100 people arrested at a gig after some band had played for the crime of defending terrorism and other thought crimes and other speech crimes. And they weren't defending terrorism at all, folks. What they were saying was that we're being scammed by our governments. And this was classed as defending terrorism, and they were all arrested. And this is coming to a town near you, and the reason it's coming to a town near you is because you're not prepared to stand up now and make a little bit of noise about it. You're just going to hide in the cupboard until they come and get you. And they will. They'll come and get you if you continue to hide in the cupboard. You've got to start speaking your truth, folks, because they're locking things down around you right now. And no, this isn't fear porn. And the people out there that are saying don't listen to the fear porn, what they are promoting is the fear porn that facing the truth and wanting to do something about it is fear porn. Most of these people who are calling stuff like I'm saying today fear porn are idiots who are either working for the government and trying to keep you in a state of apathy and inaction, or they're in a state of fear themselves and they're too afraid to look at reality. And so they label it fear porn so they can stick their head in the sand and pretend that they're awake and aware, and all of this fear porn stuff is beneath their new spiritual awareness, when really they're just a bunch of people who are terribly afraid of actually facing the future and facing the world realistically, and are quite prepared to stick their head in the sand in the erroneous belief that if they do so, all the problems will go away. And that, my friends, is the real fear porn. These are the type of people that have a damn good life telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And they are a huge part of the problem. There are just too many people who believe that there is a spiritual way out of this, but the spiritual understandings don't need to be applied to the physical world, but in fact they do. And there are too many other people who believe there are legal ways out of this, such as losing the name. They won't touch me if I lose the name, then they lose jurisdiction over me. Folks, they don't care whether they have jurisdiction over you or not. They just tase you and throw you in a bin and torture you for years. That's what they do. And folks, if you think losing the name is actually going to help you, tell that to the people that are all imprisoned in the secret prison that has just been discovered in Chicago. There's a whole facility in Chicago where the police have just been disappearing people into it. I wonder if they lost the name or not. That's the thing, folks. Under the circumstances that we're facing, it honestly doesn't matter if you lose the name. It only works for a little bit on a ground level. But once this control grid comes into full swing, then it's not going to matter if you lose the name or not. They don't care about the legal system. The legal system's only there to constrain the people. Once the people have figured out that it's all fiction and they decide to step above it, then the government has got all the guns and they're quite prepared to use them and they don't mind doing it at all. And even if you speak out against them, they charge you with terrorism like they've just done in France. All these people that have been jailed for basically speaking their minds, and they've been jailed under free speech legislation. Get that, folks. The whole Charlie Hebdo thing is about defending free speech. And now if anybody speaks out about Israel or anybody speaks out about the government, it's called defending terrorism in France, and they jail you under the claim that they're defending free speech. It's absolutely ridiculous, folks. The French government is the most hypocritical bunch of morons on the planet at this stage, I think, simply by their actions. You just got to look at these guys. If you look at the word hypocrisy, I suggest they put a picture of the entire French government in the dictionary next to the term just to illustrate the term for people so they're better able to understand it. Because by their own actions, the current French government has demonstrated themselves to quite possibly be the biggest bunch of hypocrites on the entire planet, and certainly the biggest bunch of hypocrites in all of Europe. And again, folks, this is coming to a town near you. If you decide to keep your head in the sand and you decide to look at all of this as a fear porn. And again, folks, what we are seeing here in France with all of this jailing of people for simply having an alternative view is a humanitarian situation, a humanitarian crisis now manifesting itself as an attack upon free speech by the governments that the people employ to manage their infrastructure and to ensure that they are safe and secure. And now these people are being jailed for simply thinking outside of the box and for asking questions. This is not acceptable, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're out there and you think it is acceptable because of this terrible terrorism threat, then you really need to open your eyes a little bit to reality and have a look around you at what's going on. And again, folks, the only way we're going to deal with it is realizing that what we're seeing unfold before us is a humanitarian situation, a humanitarian crisis on a global scale that is being wholly manipulated and wholly controlled by those who run our governments. That's where it's all coming from, folks, and we have to pay attention and stand up and call a spade. We've got to stand up for what is right and what is good, and we've got to stand up for the moral perspective, folks, because if we don't, we're going to lose all of our rights, and we're going to find ourselves locked down into a slavery system that we'll probably never be able to escape from. And it will have all happened due to our own inaction and our own belief that we need to be politically correct, our own fears of stepping into what we are, our own fears of ever stepping into our own power and realizing that we have the ability to change all of this if we simply stand up and do the right thing. And the right thing is to always stand by your moral compass and to call a spade. You've got to realize that there are no people who have authority over you, ladies and gentlemen. We have authority over ourselves. That's the thing. And if we're obeying our moral compass and we're doing what is morally right in all that we do, then the government does not have a leg to stand on. But it's very difficult for anyone to do this on their own. We've seen the result of this as what we've seen with these people getting arrested in France. But that's because there was only 100 people. And the government and the media can spin this any way they want. But if the whole population wakes up to themselves and stands up and starts speaking the truth, then the government really has nowhere to go. Most especially if it's coming from all quarters, if it's not a movement, if it's just random voices and individual voices all throughout the community standing up and speaking their truth and it's decentralized so there's no leader to take down, then the government will be terrified and they have absolutely nowhere to go. It's a humanitarian situation and it can be addressed by people applying their spiritual understandings to the physical world and acting upon them. That's all it will take, folks, but we need a groundswell of people to make it happen. But I think we've reached break time here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so I think that by putting humanity back into the equation, we could solve a lot of these problems. We really could. I mean, when you're looking at a situation, you've got to understand that people created the system. You know, people created the system to service the needs of the people. And yet people are now the most expendable thing within the system's parameters. We need to shift that and put humanity back into the equation. If you go to a situation and somebody's suffering, then the cause of the suffering is the crime. You know, if they're suffering due to financial reasons, if they're being kicked out of their house or something like that, the authorities need to look at this and say, why is this person being made homeless to support the system? Where has this crime within the system occurred which has caused this person to be homeless? Because that is the crime. It isn't anything the person has done. It isn't because they haven't paid their mortgage or they haven't paid their rent. It's because there's a situation and a system that's been put in place which has caused these people to be in a state of scarcity and now to be in a state of homelessness. And that in itself is the crime. When you look at the situation in Gaza Strip, you got to look at it and say, well, here is the world's biggest open-air prison where there's 1.8 million people, over 900,000 of them children, who are subject to collective punishment and routine torture and brutality at the hands of another state. This is a humanitarian crisis. Let's go in there and save the people and then look at the situation which has caused this to occur. But priority number one is to rescue the people before we even look at the political situation that caused it, because people are suffering. And if people are put back into the equation and put back to the top of the food chain where they belong, then we'll be able to rectify these situations very quickly. But we have to start looking at them as humanitarian issues, because none of these are political issues or ethnic issues or religious issues. All of them are humanitarian issues, and we need to start looking at it correctly in order to heal them. And the priority in all these situations must be the people, folks. It really must. We have to stop looking for remedies politically and deal with these humanitarian crises that we see before us in a humanitarian way. I mean, it's ridiculous, all the debating, folks. If you go to a car accident and there's a person trapped in a vehicle, do you sit down and do a study and have an investigation on how the person got trapped in the vehicle before you rescue them? No. You rescue them and then you figure out how it happened. It's the same thing. If a person's fallen down a well, you go and rescue them from the well. You don't do the logistics of how they may have got there and launch an investigation into the rope company before you rescue them from the well. And it's the same situation in places like Gaza. People are suffering. They are suffering incredible inhumanity and brutality. And we're debating on the finer points of how they got there rather than realizing that they're there and rectifying the situation. We have to look at it from a human perspective, folks, and put all of this political and ethnic and religious rubbish aside, because all of these issues are humanitarian issues. As I stated earlier, folks, the problem is that our governments have lost their humanity. That's the whole thing. And because the governments have lost their humanity, and the media certainly doesn't have any humanity, it's been filtered down to the population, and the population fails to look at things from a human perspective. I mean, we see people suffering in a country at the hands of a tyrannical government, and so we go in and bomb the hell out of the country and kill most of the people under the pretext of rescuing them. It's absolutely absurd. And you can't solve any problems through war. You can't solve any problems through conflict. I mean, look at what's happening in Ukraine. The West is deciding that the way to fix Ukraine is to send a massive amount of weapons in there and drop bombs all over the place. I mean, how is this going to help anyone? How is this going to heal the situation? It's just going to make lots of people homeless. It's going to destroy lots of infrastructure, and it's going to kill lots of people. But of course, the real problem in all of these situations is the military, isn't it? It's these idiots in the military who just do what they're told and blindly follow orders, and it's the same on the streets of our society. The idiots in the police force who just blindly follow whatever order the corrupt government gives them, rather than looking at things from a human perspective. And that's what we have to do, folks. But I really believe that if the public stands up and starts doing this, if the people in everyday society, if just the people on the street, the everyday man on the street, adjusts his moral compass and starts looking at things from a humanitarian perspective and questioning things from a humanitarian perspective, then it'll make a difference, because his words will fall on the ears of others and it will make sense to them. I really believe, folks, like, I just believe in the power of the human race, and I have faith in the human species. I think we can overcome this, and I think that if people hear the right words spoken in the right way, it will wake them up. It will cause them to stir inside. It will awaken their moral compass, and they will want to stand up and make a difference. And they'll see the need to stand up and make a difference, because there is a real need for people to start speaking their truth. You know, I honestly don't know how much more it's going to take to get people to stand up. I mean, it's so much in your face now. Look at the new anti-terror bill that the Canadian government is talking about bringing in. What is it, C-51, I think it's called, or C-15? I think it's C-51, which basically criminalizes any criticism of government actions at all. That's it, folks. If you criticize the government, you're a terrorist. And this is what I said was coming. And I've been predicting all of this sort of stuff for such a long time now. And it's very disappointing to find that I'm right with these things. It really is, because you can see this coming. And the mere fact that the Canadian government would introduce a bill which names any criticism of themselves as terrorism, this in itself is an act of terrorism that the Canadian government is now committing against its people. It's criminalizing any type of free speech It's criminalizing anybody who thinks outside of the box. And this spells a very, very dangerous time for the people of Canada, folks. You imagine living in a society where you are unable to question your government, and when questioning your government becomes a crime, it means that the government can do absolutely anything it wants, and if you question it, then you're a terrorist. The government can commit unbridled terrorism against its population, like they're already doing. Emotional terrorism, psychological terrorism, financial terrorism, educational terrorism, social terrorism. Not to mention the terrorism they're waging against all of these countries in the Middle East. Not to mention things like the secret prison in Chicago that has recently been discovered. But what it means, folks, is that they can wage wholesale terrorism against their populace, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you even question that type of terrorism, if you even question your children being stolen from you or your neighbours disappearing in the middle of the night, then you become a terrorist. You really want to live in a society like that, folks? Are you really going to let a government introduce legislation such as this under the pretext of keeping you safe, when the legislation itself is the most unsafe legislation ever been written and is an act of terrorism itself? That's the reality of the situation, folks. I mean, honestly, are you people actually going to let this happen? Because if you do, well, I'm sorry, but you probably deserve what you get, because this is just not acceptable. And the police, what are the police doing about this? Why haven't the police looked at this legislation and gone and arrested Stephen Harper and his entire government for treason against their nation? Because that's what they're doing. They removed habeas corpus, basically, with this legislation. And habeas corpus is the cornerstone of democracy. If you don't have habeas corpus, then you have a dictatorship. And that's what we're getting in all of our Western countries. And it's happening because the people are brainwashed by the media, and they're too scared to stand up and simply speak the truth. You know, the world has changed very dramatically in the last 12 months. Even in the last 8 or 10 months, it's changed very, very dramatically. When I left Australia last year at the end of July, and I went over to Boom Festival, when they were bombing Gaza during July last year, I said to people that this is different. This bombing campaign against Gaza is different. It has changed things. What it's done is it's legalized domestic terrorism. It's legalized the use of weapons from hell against civilian populations. And it's shown the people of the West what our police and what our authorities are prepared to do, and what sort of weapons they are prepared to use against people. I said to people that the attack on Gaza has taken things to the next level, and that we're going to see a dramatic escalation in the control grid over the next 12 months. That's what I said in July last year. And that is exactly what we have seen since that time. The control grids that they're putting in place, they are really locking down right around the planet, folks, and they're doing so because they are scared at the amount of people that are waking up, the amount of people that are speaking out against government corruption, the amount of people that can see the state of Israel for what it is. They've really shot themselves in the foot with their actions, but again, we in the alternate media have very much pushed them towards what they're doing now as well, because they're doing it out of necessity. They're realizing how much the world is waking up, and they are taking steps to lock things down before it gets out of control. And you can just see the steps they're going to attempt to associate people such as myself, people who speak out against the government, and non-violent activists. You can see the steps they're going to try to associate non-violent activists with groups such as ISIS, to say that people such as myself are recruiting for ISIS, when of course nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, ISIS is Israel, ISIS is run by the West, ISIS is CIA, and its actions are only serving to bolster US foreign policy and support the Greater Israel Project. So there's no doubt that's who ISIS is. But just attempting to associate online activists and non-violent people who speak out against the government with violent terrorist organizations, just shows the lengths that these liars in government and the liars in media are prepared to go to in an attempt to keep themselves safe and to shore up their control grid. And we're going to see a lot more of this, folks. We're going to see a lot more attacks being directed at online activism, because it is online activism that has really made a lot of difference. It's online activism that has really woken a lot of people up. I mean, the internet has been a beneficial tool for the powers that believe they be, in as much as they're able to keep tabs on people now and they're able to know who the activists are. But it's also been very beneficial to us because it has woken a lot of people up. It's put information right at people's fingertips. Unfortunately, it's also been used to distract a lot of people and to lead people off down blind alleys and down rabbit holes, but it still has served to awaken a lot of people. Unfortunately, we haven't yet seen the groundswell that I hope to see from the online community. Again, too many people have been siphoned off down other rabbit holes, down little rabbit holes of sovereign narcissism. People who believe that once they have a few legal tools, then suddenly they're free and they can sail off into the distance and ignore the rest of the world. And this has been a huge problem. If only these people had all united with a common cause and a common purpose and turned to face the system, we could have really made a difference by now. But there has been a lot of sovereign narcissism that's happened along the way, with a lot of so-called truthers and a lot of so-called awake people. But unfortunately, many people have woken up to the fact that the control grid exists. They've woken up to the fiction that surrounds them. They've woken up to the fact that the so-called legal system is not really law. It's just fiction. They've woken up to the fact that the name is the key pin and the linchpin that the control grid uses. But then they've gone into their little bubble of narcissism and they believe that now that they have those tools, then they are free because they can navigate their way through the system. But they're not turning then and using those tools. They're not turning to confront the system by simply speaking the truth and being honest and polite and kind and respectful. And that is the worst thing you can do for the system, folks. If you're polite and kind and honest and respectful and have a high moral standard, then the system runs a mile from you because it can't combat stuff like that. But if you gain all this information, if you gain the information about the name and you gain all the information about how the fiction works, and then you sail off into the blue thinking that you're free because you have this information, then you've done exactly what the system wants. Because now that you have those tools, you have the ability to turn and face these people and to be honest and eloquent and polite and respectful and speak the truth. And if they attempt to shut you up, then you've got all the tools that you need to navigate your way through the system. But unfortunately, people aren't doing that. They're saying, oh, no, no, you don't want to be confrontational because you're just buying into the fear porn. And this is what has caused the problem. Because eventually the system will come for these people. Because the system doesn't care if you lose the name. It only cares if you make that information available to others. And you only make that information available to others by using it yourself, by standing in your power and making noise. Not by going off and sharing it with people who already know this stuff, who are already half awake and are already going down these rabbit holes and dragging them down that rabbit hole with you. What you need to do is to reach the man on the street and show him that there's a way through this control grid. But you need to show him the control grid's there by confronting it. And you can do that because now you have the tools to do so. But you have to stand up and speak your truth. If you're going to grab these tools, these mechanisms that you can use to navigate through the system and then just turn your back on the system and not confront it, then you just become part of the problem. You're just allowing it to continue. And the reason you even went down this rabbit hole to begin with and gained these understandings and gained all of these legal tools was because you could see the system for what it is. You could see that it's sailing off the cliff and dragging the whole world with it, and so you decided to step out of the system. And that's a good thing that you did, but you've got to remember that it's still sailing for the cliff, and it's still dragging the whole world with it, and that includes you, whether you have these legal tools or not. And the problem is people gain these legal tools and then they say, well, I'll use them if ever I need to. They don't realize that you need to use them now, because the system is still sailing off the cliff. And once the control grid gets locked down, it won't matter if you lose the name, folks. It didn't matter to the people in Gaza if they lost the name. They didn't have a name to lose because they didn't have birth certificates to begin with. So it doesn't work, folks. Tell the people in Ukraine if it matters if they lose the name. Tell the people that are standing up against ISIS when ISIS comes to their towns whether it's okay if they lose the name. See, it doesn't work, folks. It only works if you are prepared to use it now while the system is still pretending that it respects law. Because the system doesn't respect law. The law is only there to control the people. It's not there to control those who work within the system. We might be able to call them out a little bit sometimes in public, and the media might put on a little bit of a show and pretend that these people are actually getting prosecuted for their actions, but it never really goes anywhere. The legal system's there to constrain the population, not to give them any remedy. Even the whole name thing, the way they've got it all set up, yeah, this is simply a cataloguing system. This is simply how you run a business, folks. But it doesn't really mean anything, because what it's about is controlling the living flesh of humanity. And that's what they're doing, and that's the system that they're bringing in place. And by the time it all gets locked down, there'll be enough people in there that will support it that it won't matter if you lose the name. They'll just call you a terrorist for doing so. And that'll all be because you didn't apply yourself to the world now. You know, you get all this new knowledge of how the system works, but then you sail off into a bubble of narcissism and don't apply it to the world, and that has been the problem. You know, if all the people who understood how the fiction works, if all the people who understood how natural law works, and all the people who really could see this control grid for what it is, could put down all of their little bubbles of narcissism and stop arguing with each other and put all their egos aside and stop looking down on each other and accusing each other of supporting fear porn and all this rubbish, all these programs that people are running, and actually respect themselves enough to respect other people and all stand together and call a spade, we could heal the world in a day. While people continue to run down these rabbit holes and support these systems of sovereign narcissism and spiritual narcissism and actually think they're free by ignoring the rest of the world, then they're just exacerbating the problem, and we're never going to get anywhere. You know, all the work we've done to expose the fiction and to find a way of navigating ourselves through the fiction, all the work we've done exposing all the rabbit holes we've gone down, the trust law rabbit hole, the sovereignty rabbit hole, the name rabbit hole, all of these rabbit holes we've gone down, everything that we've done, it's been a learning curve for everybody, and it's all served to expose the fiction. But if we don't apply it to the world now, while the system is still pretending that it obeys the law that it creates, then it's not going to work, because once the control grid locks down, then all of that stuff will be thrown out the window. It's only good if we use it now. And we have an opportunity to use it now, because at the moment the system still has to pretend to the general public that it actually cares about them. It has to pretend that it respects the law. It has to pretend that it's doing things in the public's best interest. And all of us out here who have the tools and know how to navigate our way through the system, we have a duty of care to the rest of the world to expose the system for what it is to these people. We have a duty to put this information to good use now, because now we have the opportunity to use it. But if we wait and wait and wait and continue to think that we're free just because we have this knowledge, then what we're going to find is that when it comes time to use it, it's not going to work. You have to use it now, folks. You've got to stand up and be counted now and make your voice heard and speak your truth, because that's what's needed. And there's enough people out there now that have enough information to be able to expose the system for what it is in their own circle of influence. But if you've got this information and you're just looking for people who are on the same wavelength as you, and you're only sharing with the people that you know, but you're not making ripples in your community, then you're contributing to the system. You're contributing to the system by your simple choice to ignore the system. Because you can't ignore it, folks. We've got to stand up and make a difference while we still have the opportunity to do so. As I said, folks, all of this information and all this knowledge we've got, it's only going to work and it's only going to be viable for us to use it while the system is still maintaining some semblance of decency for the rest of the world. But when it gets down to the stage where any talk against the system is perceived to be terrorism, and you've got the general public kind of going along with this because the television has told them that it's the right thing to do, then it puts us in a very, very precarious situation. And people are going to look at this and they're going to look at the past and they're going to think, why didn't I act when I had the opportunity to do so? And it's important that people will look at that now, because we're fast losing these opportunities, folks, and we will lose them if we don't put this knowledge to use now. And folks, we're being presented with every opportunity we've ever needed to do so. We have to act, we really do, and there are still people out there in the world who will listen to a sane and eloquent voice. And if you stand up and you speak the truth and you do it from the moral high ground and you do it in a public enough way, there are people who will listen. A lot of people in the world now know that there's something terribly wrong. They just don't know what it is. But they know things are not right. They know we can't go along the path that we're going, but they don't know how to change it. A lot of them just don't really see what the problem is because they've never really been given the tools that they've needed to view the world from the correct perspective. They've never been given the knowledge that they needed. They've never been privy to the information. And that's why you can make a difference. That's why we can all make a difference. But we have to do it now, folks. We've got to stand up and have our voices heard. This is a very, very significant year, ladies and gentlemen. I knew it was going to be a significant year. We are right on the knife edge at the moment, and humanity could go either way. And the more negative they make it, the more people are waking up, certainly. But if people are not prepared to stand up and speak, then it will all be for naught. And again, we've been given every opportunity to do so. I mean, just look around you. Look at the legislation that they're bringing in all of our countries and see it for what it is. Because what it is an opportunity for you to stand up and question this legislation. It's an opportunity for you all to be able to rein your governments back under control by simply pointing out the obvious to the people in your community and pointing out the obvious to the government. Because when you point out the obvious to them in a public enough way, and you say it in a common sense enough manner, then the government really has nowhere to go. And so that's why now is the time for people to make their voices heard. But I think we've just about reached the end of the show here, folks. It's very close to the end of the show. I will be bringing you some information on what I'm going to be doing with Full Circle Project soon. I've just got to get together with some people and have a meeting about it, and we've got a lot of things to discuss. I've really got to figure out what direction I want to take it, because the world has changed a great deal in the last 12 months, but I'll be bringing you some information about that over the next few shows as well. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you very much for spending this time with me today. Thank you for those who continue to listen to the show after all these years. And thank you to those people who send me emails. It's always a pleasure to read your emails. I'm sorry I don't get to respond to them all, but do keep writing them, because it is food for me, folks. I do love to hear what you have to say. Thank you again to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website, thecrowhouse.com. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.